Amen. If we could all say it together, as we have said so many times before, Brother Goff, preach to me. Can you say that? Brother Goff, preach to me.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. So good to be in God's house. I would ask my family if they would come. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. And I want to give honor to where honor is due. And thank you, Pastor Hilton, for all of the kind words and recognition of the labor. And it wasn't all me, and I had to have a start, and it began in this house. And I thank God for what was placed in me and the burden for souls and to be apostolic. The worship that we have in Jackson is not Brother Goff's, it's apostolic. And that's what we do, and I just want to thank God for it. And we're so honored to be in the house of God on a Sunday evening here in Olathe. And we thank God for the privilege to be able to come and stand behind this sacred desk. And it is a privilege that I don't want to take for granted to also be able to speak to each and every one of you from what God has laid on my heart. And I want to say, as has been said many times, congratulations to this church and to my dear friend, Pastor Hilton. Amen. It's not hard to call you that because I love you so dearly and give you immense amount of respect and honor unto you. And I just want to let my family just give some worship. I love the presence of God that's in this house. And I believe God's going to do something great in this house here tonight. Amen. Let's just worship God as they sing here tonight. Hallelujah.
Let's raise up a shout. It's that of a Can we lift him up? Can we magnify him together in this place? Hallelujah. Can our hearts and minds come together in unison? Master, we love you. Oh, glory. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. It is a privilege to be here tonight. And as Pastor Hilton has said, I don't know why I'm here, but I know why I'm here. Amen. God interrupted my schedule, and when it thought it was, how is this all going to work out? And then it was, well, you're just going to have to stay in Kansas City the weekend. Everything just started click, 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 click. Everything just started. And God woke me up in the middle of the morning, around 2 o'clock in the morning, and laid a verse of scripture on my heart. And I just want to share what God has laid on my heart. I will say this. I will say this. If you came to the house of God with any amount of hurt, with any amount of feelings that feel too raw, whether they're self-inflicted, you can name names of they afflicted, or you just want to blame the devil. Tonight is a night you can get rid of all of that raw emotion, that raw feeling. Today is the day. I'm here to tell you, God has sent me with a word for you. And if you'll just ride with me for a little bit, I believe God's going to give you the opportunity to break away from what's been holding you back in your life. And God's going to give you a help and a strength like no other. If you want to be free tonight, God will set you free. If you want to walk away from the bondage of sin and shame that's behind you that he's already forgiven you of, but Satan keeps hanging over your head, God has come to set you free tonight. You need to forgive yourself and stop bringing up the past. God's got something great for you. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 28. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 28. You can quote it, but we're going to read it together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And what God laid on my heart and woke me up and rolled through my spirit for hours on a morning when I was here, it was for good. You are going to find out if you'll trust God, he'll let you know what the for good is. You have doubts in your mind that your life will ever amount to anything, if you'll ever get out of this cycle. You seem stuck, but God's going to show you what for good is. But you got to let him do this for you. Amen. If we can lay our Bibles down, I just want to let God reach down and touch us today. Heavenly Father, you're a strength to us. And I thank you, Master, for your help that's in the house tonight. And God, we come with a purpose. And my God, to see the good in everything fulfilled. God, for your will to, Master, be brought to pass in lives today. We ask you to reach down and touch your strength upon this house. Your hand and your anointing, God, rest upon this place as it so has many times before. And we thank you for it. Oh, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to just give you a title so you know exactly where I'm going. And that way it's very clear. No ambiguity, no misunderstanding. We're all going to get to the same place here tonight. Title of my message tonight, A Miracle in the Hands of the Hurting. A Miracle in the Hands of the Hurting. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, I want to point your attention to a passage of scripture. And I'm going to read this to lay a foundation and so you have an understanding. And I know many of us have read this time and time again. And I bring no new words, but I just want to give you an opportunity to get rid of some things here tonight in the house of God. God wants to help some folks here. If we jump into the story of John, we see that John was beheaded in prison. And we want to jump into this and have just a continuity of the flow of the passage of Scripture. And we understand that it was Herod that took the life of John. And it was a terrible situation as John was no doubt laying in his prison cell. Next thing you know, unless they were day drunks, it would have been at night. And they was knocking on the door. John, get up. What do you mean? Get up. Somebody has asked for your head. And next thing you know, he had read his Bible for the last time. He had said his nightly prayers for the last time. He had gone to bed thanking God for the day and what's going to be for tomorrow for the last time. And we see, as we just jump headlong into this, in verse 10, and he sent and beheaded John. This is Herod doing this, and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. One point of distinction. I don't want you to make the same mistake that I have made. But when it says in verse 12, his disciples came, it's John's disciples came. John's disciples came and buried his body. It says, and when they told Jesus in verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And it was when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. They said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And to give us just a little bit better understanding, if you'll turn to Mark chapter 6, we're going to look at the perspective that was documented in Mark chapter 6, just so you have a little bit better understanding of this passage. We'll jump headlong into it in verse 29 of Mark chapter 6. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in the tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. So we have a clear distinction. Disciples and apostles. John's disciples and the apostles of Jesus Christ. Because in the first part of Mark chapter 6, we find that Jesus dispensed them out, sent the apostles out for them to do work. And inserted in this is the history and the story of the death of John the Baptist. What we find is the disciples of John went and found Jesus after they had buried the one of which they were following, John the Baptist. And they went and conveyed the horrific news unto Jesus. We find that the apostles were there with Jesus, as we read in Mark chapter 6. And so we see them where it says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they have done and what they have taught. See, they're talking about what happened prior to the story of John the Baptist being murdered. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they have no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by a ship privately. And so we see Matthew's gospel, and we see Mark bring this story together with overlaying and additional details provided. But John was special. John was a man that was sent by God. As it says in John 1 and 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John was not just a man who had some beliefs and had some following, but his ministry was ordained of God. John was special. He was one that it was not just an ordinary man. Jesus had great respect for John. For Jesus made the statement saying that there was none greater that was born of a woman than John. You see, that's the perspective that we see of John, who had just been laid in a grave by his followers. And with the feeling of laying them in the ground, and I don't know, history doesn't bear it out. What we do know is the head was given to somebody else. And it says that the disciples came for the body. Did they bury a headless body? I don't know. But the scripture says that the head was served on a silver charger and the body was buried by his disciples. Can you imagine the feeling of hurt and anguish as the disciples of John gathered his headless body, whether it was with him or with somebody else, no doubt it's still headless, and they bury the man that they're following. There was that affection. And the next thing they know is, we've got to find Jesus, Pastor Hilton. We've got to go to where Jesus is at. And in the midst of this, we see the apostles, the ones that had been sent forth, and that they had went and they had done the work that Jesus had said. And it's not original to me. You've heard it many times, but you know, it can be said that there are disciples, but not everybody is an apostle. John had disciples. Jesus had disciples that he then made apostles that were sent forth. And they came back and they gave the news of what they had done. And they learned of the news of the death of John. In the setting of what we're talking about, where Jesus then separates himself, because John, being the forerunner, laid the foundation for the work of the apostles. Mark 1 and 2, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. It was John that was so very special. And there was that affection that Jesus had towards him. He had a heart of affection towards John. For when Jesus heard the news, in much of what was said, where the apostles came and said, we have labored. And the next thing you know, Jesus said, let's withdraw to a desert place. I am positive. I would believe that the way that Jesus felt about John and the news that was given to him, that it played into this, let's go and let's find us a place to rest. We need you to, you apostles, you need to just step back. Let's get some eating. Let's pray. Let's clear our minds. Let's get together and let's find some rest. We have just heard some horrific, horrific news. And no doubt they were reeling, the apostles, at the news of John's death. And Jesus chose to turn a moment of grief and anguish and hurt and raw feelings and emotions that were no doubt out of control, saying, do we just go get them? Look what they did to the beloved John. Look what they did to the one who paved the way that we could go out and do what we just decided to do. What we just report. How dare they do this? And the raw emotion that came. And no doubt there was times that the apostles saying, Jesus, can we just get some time? And they're going off into a desert place. But scripture bears out that says that he got into a boat to leave. But the people then found them and pursued after them and came, and a mass of people overwhelmed them. And you could think, as an apostle, when am I going to get my time? When am I going to get my time? I'm hurting. I just saw the disciples of John just shredded emotionally come in and tell Jesus that look at what they've done to John. We buried his headless body. We have laid him to rest. And the emotions of the apostles were no doubt, Jesus, look at all these people. Send them away so that they can get their own food. And Jesus then turns a moment when the apostles were asking to be alone. When the apostles were just wanting to spend time with Jesus. When the apostles had every justification to say, can it just be us for tonight? Can it just be us to lay our heads down at rest? Can you just take care of the hurt? Can you just help the healing inside of me? No doubt they were impacted. I know one was. His name was Andrew, a former disciple of John. Can you imagine how Andrew felt when he heard the news, when he was with his brethren, the apostles, and next thing you know, it gets conveyed to him. Andrew, I'm sorry to tell you, John, whom you got your start with, John, the beloved, the beautiful John, the one who labored and so unique and loved by Jesus, he's gone. And no doubt if anybody was hurting, it was Jesus and Andrew. And their hearts were smitten. And I believe the rest of the apostles were likewise. Yet Jesus took a moment and turned it to serving others. Jesus took grieving apostles and pointed them toward the needs of others. Jesus showed the miracle of a healing heart through service unto others. When they would have said, just send them away. We don't have food for them. How is this going to happen? We find that Jesus said, just ride with me for a moment. What do you have? Oh, we just have but these two fish and these five loaves. And if they were to be honest, it would be, and the hurt that rests upon my heart. I just need some time alone. Child of God, I'll bring something personal to my attention, to your attention. When Sister Goff and I were dating and got engaged, there was something that she said to me. She said, if I ever get hurt in our relationship, I want you to do one thing. Don't let me walk away from that moment. Because my instinct, my nature, is when I'm hurt, is to distance myself from those who I am connected to. But she says, honey, I want you to wrap me in your arms and I want you to hold me close and help me get through my hurt and don't let me run off by myself. So many times in life, we don't have people that'll reach out, but the church is always reaching. You may have hurt in your life. You may not understand the situations in your life. Just like I don't understand why I'm here, but I know why I'm here tonight. We may not understand all things, but I'm here to tell you, child of God, there is a good in your life. There is something good that will come from what's taking place in your life. I don't know any situations. I'm not aware. Nothing's been shared with me. I don't know what's happening. I don't know your ups and your downs. But what I do know, there is good that God wants to do in your life. But you got to let go of some hurt so that God can take care of that pain that's deep within your heart. And like I said before, you could blame others and you can blame yourself. Often we blame others that are not even alive today, but they. I can name names and I can place dates and I can tell you where and I can walk you to the place. But I can tell you what, I can name names and I can walk you to the place where you can come to and God will take care of it tonight. God will lift it off of you tonight. Stop living in the past and walk into the promise that God wants to give you in this house tonight. There's a miracle in your hands if you will let it take place. When they would naturally be pushing hungry people away with no means to provide, Jesus stepped in and took a meager meal of those two fishes and those five loaves and multiplied provision and blessed it and placed it into the apostles' hands and cascaded that down to the multitude. And if you get nothing, I want you to hang on this point. It's hard to think about the hurt when you're holding a miracle. It's hard to dwell on the past. It's hard to blame others. It's hard for you to be the victim when you got a miracle in your hands. It's hard to let things hang over your head. Mistakes you have made, decisions that you hate and despise, things that you wake up every day and you wish would have played out different. It's hard to think about those things when you got a miracle in your hands and you're saying, I don't know how he did it, but here you go.
I told him it was two fish and five loaves. And the next thing you know, they're broken up by 50s, hundreds and 50s. And you just keep passing. Master, I don't know how you're doing it, but it just keeps multiplying. And when you're looking at a miracle and you see the joy that fills the life of others around you, you forget about the hurt of John growing cold in a grave. You learn, listen, there's something greater than bad news on a Sunday night. There is a great thing, and it is the good that God wants to do in your life. And life will give you the opportunity to walk out still holding on to hurt. But I'm here if I could just give you just a little bit of encouragement. If you'll just focus on the miracle in your life. If you'll just focus on the good, if you'll just focus on the great things that God is doing in your life, you'll forget about that past. And then all of a sudden, years later, somebody will say, how you been doing? And you'll think, I haven't thought about that in a long time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But what you will have in your hand is a loaf of bread that was blessed and broken by the hands of Jesus. You'll have fish, oh, fragments that are more than just pieces. They represent the hole in your life. They represent what plugged that anger and that vitriol and that demise that you feel like I'm just washed up. There's nothing left in my life. I'm hurt. Nobody loves me. I'm here to tell you there's a miracle that wants to fill that soul, that hole in your heart tonight. Jesus showed us that we must be about his Father's business. Luke 2 and 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye know not that I must be about my Father's business. I want to remind you tonight that Jesus came as the ultimate example. If anybody could have got preacher hurt, it's Jesus. He had the Sanhedrin. He had all of them looking over their glasses with their pointy noses and their justification for hate. And he could have got preacher hurt, but instead he gladly went to Calvary and he gladly participated in the miracle of salvation and made a way that the blood of Jesus Christ could wash away the hurt and the pain. And the miracle of Calvary is available for us today. And Jesus would compel them because he had an amazing effect on those around him. We talk about the multitude and we talk about the disciples. We talk about the apostles. But there's some folks that are the unsung heroes of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Many of them, we don't even know who their names are. Many of them are alluded to in Scripture. But tonight, I just want to name one of them. There are some folks in the New Testament that are profoundly and were profoundly impacted by Jesus. That even though they're hardly mentioned in Scripture, their deed, their servitude, their willingness to serve made such a difference. It made way so that everything that Jesus did, they were used mightily by the hand of God. You may be wondering who they are. We'll look at them in Scripture. It was those that were willing to forsake father and mother to become fishers of men. But there's one dear lady who appears in Scripture by name and is often overlooked. And I want you to remember her name tonight and to never forget it. For she was noted at Calvary, at the cross. We see Mark chapter 15 and verse 40. And there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, who we're talking about? Jesus. When Jesus was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. And many other women which came up unto him, with him unto Jerusalem. We see that Mark's gospel calls out and begins to talk about Salome. We see that she was there at Calvary, and we see she was also there throughout with the company of others in the time of the ministry of Jesus Christ. She was there and named as one of those that ministered and took of her means and provisioned unto Jesus and made sure with other ladies that there was food and a place to sleep and no doubt their garments to be washed and all of the needs of Jesus's ministry. There was some people called Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and of Joseph, and Salome. If you'll read in Mark chapter 15 and we read on in verse 47, we find, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. And if you just go one more verse, Mark 16 and verse 1, it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. It was Mary and Mary who went, once they located the body of Jesus, they went and found that sweet Salome, the one that had ministered ever so faithfully to be named in Scripture, named among the women who were the ones who ministered unto Jesus and provided for him. And it's not to be that we can gloss over this valiant effort. It was because these ladies that were named and the ones that were not, they were ones that were the unsung heroes behind the scenes. Barely even mentioned in Scripture. Hardly even recognized. It seems, and it's almost a passing thing. But what we find that it was Salome, whose word, her name means peace. At the root of it means peace. She was present during the ministry of Jesus and noted to be a significant help to Jesus personally, and present at the crucifixion of Jesus, and present to anoint the body at the grave of Jesus. I find it interesting that when Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James located the body, that they went and found Salome, and the three of them went down to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. It is something special, and no doubt there was hurt, just as it was with the disciples of John and the apostles of Jesus Christ, and the hurt and the anguish of seeing Jesus Christ murdered on a cross of Calvary. But yet these three ladies served continually. They didn't back away from their calling. They said, listen, we were with him when he fed the multitudes. We were with him as he ministered in Galilee. We were with him when there was just a few around him, and we would come in and say, Jesus, can we hear some fresh food and sustainment? And here, can we take your clothes, and can we give you a fresh change of clothes, and can we launder? It was these ladies that were providing for Jesus. It was these ladies doing what nobody else wanted to do. It was these ladies that knew the situation around the apostles and around Jesus Christ. They were the ones behind the scenes. But whenever things started to unfold, when it was the apostles that were noted, let me tell you what, there were some ladies behind the scenes weeping uncontrollably. When there was just anguish taking place at Calvary, there were some ladies that were saying, that's the garment that I washed with my hands, and they're gambling for it at the foot of the cross. I have laid my hands upon that garment. I have cleansed that. I I have washed that. I have pulled stains out of it. And now they have made it common. These were the ladies that nobody likes to talk about. And there was hurt. But yet they still caught up. And they still went to the grave. And they said, it's going to make us unclean. But I've got to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me your hurt is greater than theirs. Watching their Savior murdered and tortured right before their very eyes, and watch him die, and noted in Scripture, they were there. They were watching afar off, no doubt huddled together, holding each other, no doubt hanging on each other in hurt and pain. Don't tell me just because someone said you're ugly or said you're fat or you're skinny, oh, I'm hurt. That does not compare to the things that people in Scripture went through when they watched the spear pierce his side and the water flow out, and they sat there and winced. I can't look anymore. Don't tell me about your pain, because Jesus made a way for their pain, and he made a way for your pain. There is an escape in the house tonight. But it doesn't stop there. We find that historians believe that according to Matthew's gospel, that Salome is the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, also known as Jesus called them, the sons of thunder. It is because Mark calls out Salome by name with Mary and Mary. Matthew calls out Mary, Mary, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And what we find is a mama who had a daddy or a husband with a fishing boat and servants watched Jesus walk by. Can I make you fishers of men? And they got off their daddy's boat. And if Scripture bears out correct, there was a mama that followed after Jesus as well. A mama who could have said, you took away my means. Those are my boys. They're putting food on the table. What are we going to do? They're the ones running the boat. But Jesus said, can I make you fishers of men? And behind the scenes, there was a mama cooking fish for the fishers of men. There was a mama washing clothes for the fishers of men. And Sister Reba, you've got boys that God has laid his hand on. And you're behind the scenes. And you wash the clothes for the fishers of men. And you cook the food for the fishers of men. And no matter what happens in this life, there's a healing for every heart. Don't get bitter for the beauty that God's doing in the hearts of his people. When we can say, I have no longer can feed them at my table. Jesus took them from him. No, that was not her regard. She says, Zebedee, man the house. I'm going to go find Jesus, and I'm going to go wash his clothes. What about my clothes? You got a servant. But my boys, they're serving the master. I've got a job to do. There's some ladies. It's not a hen party. It was a service that they gave. And they're noted in Scripture when she could have got bitter and angry because Jesus pulled them out of her home. She says, no, there's a greater purpose in this life. And she's noted as the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And she's noted as the beautiful Salome, who was willing to watch, minister, and anoint. And God made sure there was a way that her pain could get taken away. She could have watched her sons walk away for the last time. But while Jesus was in Galilee, she says, no, I'm going to help. I've never seen my boys like this before. I've never seen them act like this before. They have walked away, and there's something different in them, something God is doing in their life. I can't explain it, but I've got to be a part. Child of God, it's enough looking through the fence and poking your eye up to the knot that's knocked out of the fence of the church. You can't do that any longer and sit there and hold your pain from afar. But you got to step out on the battlefield. And you got to embrace what Jesus is wanting to do in your life. It is the good. You have every justification because of things that's happened to you in your past. And the names that you can name. And the court dates, the no doubt, that are written down in your calendar of a history of your past. That you can go back and they done this and they done that. And I got this paper and I got this text message. But I'm here to tell you today, there's something greater. There's a miracle in your hand. Focus on the beauty that God has placed before you with this service. Let there be Salome, peace in your life. Let there be beauty. It doesn't matter whose name you can call or even blame yourself. Jesus has come to give peace to your heart. God gives us the power to do His will. I'm closing. If the musicians would come. God gives you power to do His will, to live peaceably with all men. Now, I say I'm bringing this to a close, but I'm bringing it to the point so you can do something with your hurt. It's not so we can dismiss and go home, but so that you can make up your mind. Tonight is the last night. Tonight is the day. Jesus, I'm telling you, you may think nobody knows my pain like me. Nobody understands the pain of my heart. And Brother Goff, you mentioned things that are closely associated, but mine is so much deeper, and it's so much more worse than you could ever imagine. And you could say, nobody understands my pain. I'm here to tell you that may be true, but I don't have to understand, but I can give the answer. I'm here to tell you that Salome was not forgotten. She may have went to the grave, but it didn't stop there. Salome was noted in ministry, at Calvary, and at the tomb. But can I present the case that it didn't stop there? Acts chapter 1. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. With the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Child of God, I believe that the ones that were in every aspect of the ministry of Jesus, of ministry, of crucifixion, of the burial, and with the women, it bears out, it says, it was all those that had served behind the scenes were a part of the upper room and the 120. With the women. Serving will take you places you never imagined. Salome, Mary, and many others never imagined that when they watched the crucifixion happen, that they would be in the upper room and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The greatest miracle is salvation. And I believe that Salome was included on the day of Pentecost. Because when you find faithful saints of God that are dedicated behind the scenes, willing to walk away from whatever there is and serve Jesus behind the scenes. But let me tell you what, when Peter denied Jesus, when Judas betrayed Jesus, when the boys weren't made named, Salome and Mary were. Sometimes we don't always get it together. Sometimes we as men think, oh, I've got the title and position. But Scripture shows us when the apostles were cursing him and denying him, there were faithful ladies that didn't let the hurt drive them from the presence of Jesus. and they joined Peter with the 11 on the day of Pentecost. Had some people named Mary and Salome standing there saying, I can't believe I'm here, but I'm so glad I laid aside the hurt. Can we stand this evening? I just want to give you the answer. Just as Jesus gave to Salome on the day of Pentecost. Nothing heals like the Holy Ghost. Nothing steps in and lifts the burden from your heart like the Holy Ghost. It was right after they were named and the women and the rest of the disciples. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who are they? It's all those from chapter 1 who were named by name. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm here to tell you, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're wrestling with, whatever you're fighting with, whatever you're holding back, the Holy Ghost is the answer tonight. One last verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Child of God, sinner or saint, it doesn't matter who you are. I believe you're here, and I believe God has placed me here. Not because I'm great. It's because God has given you an opportunity to walk to the foot of the cross and lay down some hurt and some pain that you blamed on others for far too long. Today, this is the day of salvation. This is the day. And if you can get past some things by handing it to Jesus, there's an Acts 2 experience that'll walk you to the foot of the cross. And he'll say, oh, let me wash you and make you clean. Let me wash you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Can we come? Can we come and present ourselves unto him?